Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve Dewan Mike, and I'm joined with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And the overworked, underpaid, very sick, exercising mofo, Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, you're dying tonight, aren't you?
I am suffering mightily.
Today we'll be covering four episodes from Beast Wars Season 2. So how have you been, Steve?
Pretty good.
Yeah. And Michael?
I've been better. and I'll tell you why. I've pretty much had a cold all week, so this is going to be another one of those I'm sick episodes where I whine incessantly. And on top of that, in order to be a supportive husband, I've been doing the Jillian Michaels 30-day shred with my wife.
You poor slob.
Yeah, so every night I'm doing 20 minutes of cardio and weight training. With the 5-pound weights, because my wife took the 1-pound weights and all that we have left are 5, and that really sucks. Yeah, so I hurt, and sadly, my wife called me around, you know, about 20 minutes before the podcast started and said, "Get up here and exercise with me." And I was like, "Oh, shit." So I went upstairs and did it, and now I'm on the verge of blacking out, but I'm going to troop through this and see what happens.
Okay. You know, it's one of those things where Steve and I talked about this on the latest episode of Headshot, which I don't think is out yet, but we talked about how many subscribers each show has, and apparently I believe Steve told me that TBU has 44, 45 people that are subscribed through feed. It's the feed burner numbers that he had. And we're not getting a whole hell of a lot of feedback on this show. I'm not exactly sure why. What the hell?
Oh, what?
Oh, you just linked another image. Stop doing that.
I'm distracting.
Sorry. Anyways, well, you know, I've been advertising TBU on Twitter and Facebook and everything else on the fan page on Facebook and everything else. Well, our friend Michael Powers from the Lunchroom / Lunch Table podcast apparently started watching Beast Wars, and he sent us an email, or he sent me an email, and then I
put it to me, too.
Yeah, well, I put it on the forums. I made a listener questions thread on the forums, and we are going to try to clear up his confusion on the show. The email states, "So Beast Wars begins after G1, and then they fly through a wormhole of sorts and end up on Earth slightly after the events of the G1 opening, when the Autobots and Decepticons are in Stasis Lock, or whatever the hell it's called, correct? I deduce that this because the Ark shows up in Season 2, along with them blatantly finding out that they are on Earth past before the Autobots and Decepticons roamed it in G1. If this is the case, then how does the transwarp explosion from Episode 26, Other Voices Part 2, reach Cybertron when it's inhabited by Maximals and Predacons? Wouldn't it reach Cybertron when it's inhabited by Autobots and Decepticons, since that's where they are in the timeline? Seems like a pretty big plot hole, especially since..." especially since quote-unquote older Decepticons like Ravage are used at the end of the Season 2. This also contradicts the use of Starscream's spark in Episode 21, Possession, since it can't exist before Starscream died, at least not when it remembers events from G1, and Black Arachnian knows the truth about how he died. And how can Ravage even appear if he's in stasis lock in the Ark? From what I've deduced, unless Transformers is immune to the base laws of time travel, is that the rough timeline is as follows. Sometime after G1, Beast Wars Megatron steals the Golden Disk. Optimus and crew are sent after him. They fall through a portal, crash land on primitive planet unknown location. The Beast Wars begin. At the end of Season 1, a quote-unquote moon is destroyed and the Transwarp shockwave is released. Season 2, they learn they are on Earth past and must defend the future. They also learn that the Transwarp wave will hit Cybertron and alert them to their location. At this point, I get confused. Wouldn't the quote-unquote Autobots come to check it out and not the Maximals? What's going on here? Probably more complicated picture than I need to paint, but yeah, I'm confused by this as it doesn't seem to be explained in the show very well, if at all. But since it's cartoon, I've decided to write it off as the writer's not paying attention and just doing shit for the sake of the show. Stop posting pictures, damn it.
See, I know.
Distracted while I'm trying to concentrate on reading the man's email.
I didn't say read the pictures. I know the answer to this question.
So do I. I answered it on the phone yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, repeat. Please do.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. The thing is with Starscream is technically that's the future Starscream, which has no effect on the past one.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Ravage.
Yep.
Starscream, as you would have known from G1, got his body back after being blown to scrap by Galvatron. And that's how initially he became a ghost and died. He traitored on Unicron after getting his new body and got blasted into space, floating forever, and from various UK fanfics, he... And also some canon stuff, it states that Unicron punished him for traitoring, so he made him float bodiless for eternity and through space and time. As for Ravage, when they had the great upgrade, or downgrade, whatever you prefer to call it, from Autobot and Decepticon to Maximal and Predacon, he was granted amnesty and upgraded and converted. So... that's how he ended up there. As for why the Transwarp explosion did not reach the Autobot Decepticons on the past Cybertron, it's because they used Tarantulas' stasis pod, which had a Transwarp explosion, or a Transwarp cell attached to it, when he actually meant to leave the planet, and Primal Shanghai'd the pod, which caused the explosion to create a rift in time and space to send it to the future instead.
See, now that's what I was going to say, is that when the Transwarp explosion happened, the whole point of Transwarp is that it goes through time and space. So the Transwarp signature is not going to Cybertron in present time, which would have been, 200,000 years ago. It's actually going back to the Cybertron of the future because it's Transwarp.
That's what we explained to him, and he kind of got it, but he didn't really. He said he would continue to watch the show just for being able to get through it, but I don't know.
He said that explained it more, stating that the stasis pod initially had a Transwarp cell on it.
Yeah.
Which is what caused the ripple effect to the future, which is where Tarantulas was headed to begin with.
Right.
Right. And then there's a subplot that starts, I think, in Season 3, where the Predacons intercept the Transwarp message and block it from the Maximals.
That's the end of Season 2.
Yeah, so the Maximals never found out.
Yeah,
and that's when they send Ravage back.
Yeah.
Yes, and he uses his Transwarp ship and goes to the past, and then also Depth Charge, when attempting to go through one of the many rifts to find Rampage, hits that same Transwarp wave.
Right.
Which mutates his superstructure as well.
Which, oddly enough, if we cross over genres here, is actually the same Transwarp wave that killed Captain Kirk.
Oh, God.
The Nexus.
Yeah, it's the same
one. So, Michael Powers, we kind of explained it to him, you know, off the air. We just wanted to bring it up on air just to clarify for people. The problem I was having understanding what he was asking was he was thinking it was two different timelines. Like, kind of like regular 1985 and then alternate 1985 where Biff is taken over. He was thinking it was two separate timelines. But it's not. It's one single timeline.
Yeah, that is an interesting point, but no.
Yeah, but no.
But no.
All right, so we are going to get into some episodes today.
Only thing wrong with the day so far. I ain't had me a chance to... Nothing.
You know, properly defended, this cavern would make an almost perfect fortress.
Yes, I suppose it would. This much energon could sustain a frugal Predacon for quite some time. But...
Something's percolating in that devious brain of yours.
You're right about this place. It would make a perfect new lair. For all of us.
Look, I know you're upset about your old lair being destroyed in the big burn. What do you mean, all of us?
You, me, and perhaps the Fusor as well. An arachnid trio aligned against Megatron and Maximals alike.
Side with you against Megatron? You're out of your mind, Webs.
And inside yours, remember? So you really have no choice now, do you?
Maybe.
Hey, I gotta do all the work around here.
Tell me, Quickstrike, how do you feel toward Megatron?
Bossbot? Well, he's done okay leading us so far. In fact, my only complaint is not having enough geesters to wail on regular-like.
Side with me against him, Fuser, and you'll have ample opportunity to prove how tough you are.
I will, huh? That sounds good. Destruction better than construction. You get my drift. Still, Megatron's pretty tough.
I see. You... fear him.
There is nothing that crawls, walks, flies, or swims that I'm afraid of. Count me in. But if you're lying, Spider-Bot, yours will be the first taster I drop kick.
Now there is nothing to stop me.
Laugh while you can, Spider-Boy. When the time is right, that data tracks I downloaded will mean the end of...
Something on your mind?
Me? Whatever do you mean?
Don't play coy with me. I'll scan your mind for the answers if I have... Remarkable. A section of your circuits has been blocked to me.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Open your mind to me. Open it. Now! Of course, you realize this means war.
Job all done, Megatron! Was Benator and Firebug be back soon?
You have done well, Insect. Yes. I wonder how the others are faring. Tarantulas, come in. Tarantulas. Black Arachnia. Quickstrike. Anyone! Blast those arachnids! What are they up to now?
You can run, She-Spider, but you can never hide. When I get my claws on you, I'll... And just what do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
I'm tired of being your slave. Either terminate the link between us, or I'll crack this cube, and you know what'll happen then.
You don't have the nerve. Besides, I can stop you with a single thought.
But I'm betting the Energon radiation will interfere with our link.
Will it? Let's find out.
I warned you!
Oh, demon! What have you done?
First up today is Tangled Web. Oh, great. Another spider episode. Optimus Prime.
I was going to say, they're not nearly as spidery as they were before.
Thank God.
No.
Optimus Primal is back and better than ever in his new transmetal body. Megatron dispatches Black Arachnia, Tarantulas, and Quickstrike to a nearby cave to build a refueling station. Rat Trap and Silverbolt track them. And a fight ensues, the cave is destroyed, and the Predacons retreat. Megatron is furious at their failure, but little does he realize Tarantulas' plans for the now-forgotten cave.
I'm really surprised how forgotten this cave is. I keep expecting Black Arachnia to show up and go, I wonder whatever happened to that cave.
Well, see, Megatron already knew. I think he just, it took him a little bit to figure it out.
Yeah.
Until, like, after close to the end of season two, and then season three is like, Ace in my hole.
Yep. Let's see. Quickstrike calls Megatron Boss Bot. Damn it, that's only reserved for Cheetor to Optimus. Bastard. You mean to tell me that neither Black Arachnian or Quickstrike hear Tarantulas' probe hit the cargo load? That's ridiculous.
That was pretty loud.
Yeah.
They were otherwise engaged with their flirtatious manner.
Sugarbot.
Sugarbot. I'm going to get lucky tonight. You just wait and see.
And speaking of all that, Tarantulas' westernized talk is funny as hell. Even though I don't like Tarantulas, that was funny.
Let's hit him up and move him out. It's funny that Tarantulas has a sense of humor.
A very sick sense of humor.
You think in a creepy way.
Well, you know, it's like, yes, he's a mad scientist, but he's a mad scientist that you know, likes to laugh at other people.
Well, that's because he makes everybody else the butt of his jokes.
Yeah. At least Tarantulas is more spider bike bot than just spider. No more ass fluid, thank God.
Well, he still practices.
Yeah. Spider torture. And silence.
I'm sorry, what?
What part of the torture are you referring to?
In general, spider torture, the whole scene. The Energon battle.
Oh, I liked the Energon battle. That was a great mind.
Yeah.
Literally.
Didn't you see the cord crossing between
the... Yeah, it's like this giant... we're not going to go down that route this time, but let's just say that there's a certain shape that the cord took that made me... Get out of my mind! Get it out! Get it out! Especially if you take into consideration our earlier argument that the invasion of Black Arachnia's privacy constitutes rape.
Yeah.
In which case, you have some weird kind of double bondage rape thing going on here with... Yeah. It was just very strange.
Well, this is where Tarantulas figures out that Black Arachnia has the codes.
Well, he figures out she's hiding something from him, but he doesn't figure out what it is.
Well, yeah. She was also muttering it before he walked up pretty loud.
Yeah, she's kind of giving herself away. But at the same time, it's also revealed that she has, maybe not equal access, but she does have reverse access
to his,
back into his mind.
Only because of the Energon interference.
Yeah.
Right. Which is an interesting plot point that comes up later.
Oh, yes. God damn you, Tarantulas, you are no Bugs Bunny.
And you know this means war.
Shut up.
Tarantulas had a few good lines this time.
Yeah,
around.
He did. The sigh that Black Arachnia has, it looks like it came from Raphael at first. Mm-hmm. From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I just didn't place it. I didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe you can stick a sound clip or something in there as a comparison.
That's a horrible USB port. And my final note for this one was, wow, the Spider-Energon battle kind of reminds me of the sex in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He wanted it virtual. So.
Which, again, it's...
a total mind.
You know, if we're looking at, like, mutual rape here, it's kind of eerie and spooky. Consensual.
Yeah, consensual, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Black Arachnia says, you can take it too, can you? Take it, take it! It was just a little twisted.
Yeah. What do you have for this one, Michael?
A couple things. Silverbolt and Black Arachnia actually kind of meet for the first time.
Yeah.
Or Silverbolt. Well, I mean,
that's where he gets a crush on her.
Yes, that's. Well, I don't think I noticed a crush on her, but she definitely has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like my lady. You know, he's very gentlemanly, but the crush on Black Arachnia's part is evident.
Yeah.
She's just like, ooh, rare. Mm. You know? And that comes back later.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Very much
she
so.
She likes the furries.
That comes back. Oh, man.
I couldn't hold that.
There's a term for when two furries start rubbing on each other. I forget what that is.
But it's humping. Only one, and the other one's an arachnid.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's kind of hairy somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
Just dun, dun, trim dun. Every day. But carpets matching the drapes and such. But this has repercussions all the way through Beast Machine.
Yes, it does.
So it's interesting to note that this is the first time it comes up. Tarantulas managed to steal himself a fortress. But again, I was really surprised that Black Arachnia didn't catch on. In fact, as soon as she saw that explosion, I was surprised she didn't look right at Tarantulas and go, "What did you do? I know exactly what you did."
Well, I mean, it was pretty obvious considering Quickstrike was like, "And where have you been?" You know, and he says, "Never mind that," you know, and then goes to the
exactly.
Maximals. And then they all
start
to
charges.
And then Silverbolt rolls near it and it blows up, you know, just miraculously when there was no shot fired because he was in beast mode.
Yeah. But I think that's what he wanted all along. He just wanted Maximals near it, so it looked like they blew it up when he blew it up.
Yeah,
and he saved all the energon for himself, that greedy little bastard.
Well, he has plans. He's got something up his
sleeve. I'm saving for a rainy day.
Exactly. Speaking of plans, you know, I wonder, you know, what exactly Tarantulas' plans are to overthrow both Megatron and the Maximals. I mean, he's actively trying to recruit Black Arachnia, who's like, you know, fuck you, and, you know, Quickstrike's going to go with whoever's going to let him beat up the most people. He doesn't care.
Oh, and it also should be noted, this is not the first time, or, well, this is the first time, but this is not the only time that Quickstrike teams up with Tarantulas.
Yeah, because he's a dumbass, and Tarantulas promises much more than he can deliver.
Yeah, we'll talk about that once we get to season 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, But he's, he basically has his own little spider army, you know, of 3, which isn't a whole lot, granted if it were, like, Waspinator and Pterosaur and Scorponok, but, I mean, it's him, who's really, really smart and really, really devious, and Black Arachnia, who's really, really smart and, like, a ninja. And, you know, they're cannon fodder, which would be Quickstrike. So, I mean, that makes me wonder, maybe he has a plan involving his secret base where he could take out both Megatron and the Maximals.
I don't think Waspinator was in this episode that much because I don't remember seeing a splat alert.
Waspinator was in it, him and Inferno were putting up the jamming station.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
And Inferno's like, "You serve the royalty well." And he says, "Wazblader does not serve. Wazblader rules."
Yeah, but I don't really count that as, like, when... Oh, this is the other thing. I believe this is the first time that we see Megatron's tub. Isn't it?
With his rubber ducky.
Yeah.
Did we see the rubber
ducky? I don't
think
we saw the rubber ducky, but we see the tub, because he's in it while he's trying to reach Tarantulas and the rest of the spider crew.
Yeah,
because he squeezes it when he's pissed.
Oh, does he? I didn't see that.
Yeah. He always does that when he's pissed.
But
stress ducky.
But when he's, my point is, when he's calling, when Waspinator and Inferno, or when Inferno calls in, and Waspinator's in the background getting splatted, it's kind of hard. I mean, you can see it, but I really don't count that as an alert because it isn't something that's on the main screen. It's something that's off on a monitor.
And it wasn't epic.
Yeah, it wasn't epic at all.
It was just the tower fell on.
Yeah. It's kind of like Tarantulas always getting hit with a rock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. What else you got, Michael?
Megatron straightens his shirt, you know, just like Picard. And then Megatron face palms, just like Picard.
Yeah.
I like that face palm. That was funny. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm surrounded by idiots."
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not Scorbrock and Pterosaur.
Well, yeah, it could be. Well, you know, honestly, I would hazard a guess that Quickstrike is dumber than Pterosaur. Maybe not dumber than Scorponok, but definitely dumber than Pterosaur. You know, he doesn't even have the sense to make plans of his own. He's just like, okay, whichever way the wind blows.
Yeah
pretty much. Tarantulas or Pterosaur is like, how can I screw with them?
Yeah,
whereas Quickstrike's just dumb. In fact, Quickstrike is so dumb that he is easily manipulated by Black Arachnia.
And he's the butt of all the future beatings and jokes throughout the next season.
Oh, as opposed to Waspinator? Or is there double the beatings and jokes?
Well, Waspinator gets just as many splat alerts, but he's not as bad as, like, Quickstrike ends up in a lot of situations.
Oh. See, because here, I mean, Black Arachnia is basically like, "Hey, big boy, you know, why don't you come up and see me sometime?" And he's like, you know. I mean, honestly, with the series... track record of Looney Tunes moments. I'm surprised he didn't turn into a wolf and, you know, his face turned into a bugle and go, "Wah, wah, wah," you know, his tongue hanging out and jumping up and down with his tail.
Speaking of wolf, did you notice that Silverbolt, when he growls, sounds like Dinobot?
No.
Well, that's kind of obvious, though, isn't it, seeing as how McNeil voices both of them?
Well, he voices Waspinator, Silverbolt, Dinobot, and Ratchet.
Yeah.
So,
well,
kind of a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
He's kind of the Welker of the
Beast Era.
Beast Wars. Yeah. It's like all voices done by, you know, Scott McNeil and accompaniments.
You know, it. I'm not sure what the quota. Like, I know back in the 80s, and it might be the same standard today, but normally, it was only like one person can only do three voices or whatever.
Right. Well, before overtime.
Right. It might have changed since then, obviously, but I find it very funny that after Beast Wars and into Beast Machines, he only has one voice, Rat Trap, in Beast Machines.
No, then he has Silverbolt, and then he
has
few occurrences of Waspinator.
Oh, right. Okay.
A cameo or two.
Yeah. But, I mean, until Silverbolt shows up,
he's only got
it's Rat Trap is the main voice in Beast Machines. But anyway, okay, what else we got?
Ain't no figure in a female. A fact of life, Fusor. Kick it in, Steve. Come on.
Why?
Because it's funnier when you say it.
When I say Tarantulas is phrase?
Yeah. A fact of life, Fusor.
That doesn't even sound like Tarantulas, but okay.
Yeah. That's good.
Was that Yoda?
Water.
No, it wasn't. No, but the Yoda voice is more in tune with Waspinator a little bit. Those kind of blend.
Hmm.
But,
No, but, Yeah, overall, I dig spider episodes, even though you don't.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause you're like scared of spiders.
I like them in Transmetal.
Yeah, I don't mind them so much. Like Black Arachnia, I can handle. She wasn't the one always, you know, squirting ass juice.
Jeez.
But Tarantulas, I just...
Although, wouldn't it be funny if...
I knew he was going to go there. If I open the door, I see he was walking.
Isn't that time of month and right here, acne?
You open that can of spiders.
Oh, wow. Whoa. That's a little wacky.
Dumbly.
But, yeah, I don't much... Even though I still don't care for Tarantulas, I'm not that grossed out by him in Transmetal form.
He doesn't have the spindly spider legs anymore, so...
Well, he does. He just doesn't use them. He uses his bike wheel, which, again, as far as Kibble, where the hell does he store that? In his, inside his own ass?
What are you talking about?
It folds sideways under his abdomen.
Oh.
Abdomen. Yeah, you don't even see it.
His abdomen, yes.
His abdomen.
His abdomen. It folds sideways under his abdomen.
Yeah.
And then when he kind of hops up a little
bit.
And
it pops out.
Over sideways.
It's kind of like a kickstand for a bike.
He's hung like a wheel.
What do you got, Steve?
I was going to say, when Tarantulas is talking.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, and we do live to please Megatron, his green eyes and his chest plate were very noticeably missing.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
They disappeared for that quick scene, and then they were gone, and they came back. He was talking to Quickstrike.
I noticed that when he was talking to Quickstrike, well, during the Ain't No Figure in a Female line, he kind of looks over at Quickstrike, and his eyes kind of bug a little bit, you know, like he's kind of, you know, leaning in. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting use of emotion. I mean, he's kind of emoting with his eyes, despite the fact that he's got no face and he's got eight eyes.
Yeah, he's got his eyes in his stomach.
Yeah. No wonder you're creeped out by him. Jeez, that's
crazy. Well, yeah, duh.
He's always watching.
He has to watch what he eats.
Oh, God, that's a horrible joke.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Keep your eye on your food.
Kind of reminds me of the old Bill Cosby sketch about babies. He likes it when he watches the food go down the tube. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's good. Hey, get them Brussels sprouts out of there.
And then it has to come out the other end. But anyways.
What else you got, Steve?
Not really a lot. I don't really particularly care for this episode all that much.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, it's somewhat important in terms of showing how dumb Quickstrike is, and, you know, in that he'll follow whoever happens to be top dog of whatever situation.
I would say it's more important as far as the spiders go with severing the link and then Tarantulas finding the base.
Yeah, that's about the only instrumental part besides Silverbolt and Black Arachnia meeting on opposition.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, still.
Megatron face-palming like Picard. It's important.
Somebody should do a side-by-side comparison picture of that.
I was so going to, yeah.
And speaking of other things you have to do, you still have to make that video, you know.
You know, I keep meaning to, and I you know, the last video I did just kind of it popped into my head fully formed, and I just made it. Whereas this one, I can't seem to develop a script for it, and I'm having trouble. So
yeah, that last video, the ending pissed me off.
Why?
You know why?
Because I got a RC.
Yeah.
It kind of pissed me off because the lighting was a little too dark and it was grainy at the end, which bothered me. But other than that, I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, it did.
It would have been better. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right, so we are going to move on.
Why should I believe this is anything other than a transparent ploy to save your own hide?
You know me better than that.
So I thought, before you chose to fight an Optimus Primal's side.
I thought you'd led us to the wrong planet, and you betrayed me.
treachery keeps the witch sharp.
Indeed. And yours are razor sharp, which is why I believe victory will soon be in your grasp. I would share in that victory. Computer, voice code, Dinobot, change activation code.
Activation code change complete.
From this moment on, I am Maximal No More.
Next is Maximal No More. What does honor mean to a noble and complicated warrior such as Dinobot, and is he willing to betray that honor in order to tip the scales of the Beast Wars? Dinobot handles the first golden disc over to Megatron, betraying the Maximals and joining ranks of the Predacons. I have very few notes for this one. First of all, I have a real issue. Like, I know that the Maximals and Predacons are from the future, but I have a real issue with Dinobot having a fucking laptop.
He has a laptop?
Yeah, in the very beginning.
Yeah, at the very beginning. But it's not really a laptop. It's more like one of those little desktop communicators that Star Trek has.
Yeah, well, it still looks like a laptop to me.
I think in 96 they hadn't quite envisioned paper-thin, you know, view screens yet. So.
Well, they actually did. It's called Star Trek.
Okay, Trekkies.
I'm trying to laugh here, but my throat's a little ragged.
See, he did it for you.
Hyperventilating.
That was a good Wasp and Inner Splat Alert, Rat Trap. I have no idea I watched this episode so long ago, I have no idea what the hell happened. Oh, I know what it was.
He threw his belly bomb thing over to him and talked like Quick Strike. And
then
ended up puffing a smoke into his face, and he spun his head around after his body.
I remember that now, because I didn't send this picture to you, Steve, but that was, I don't think I did. That was originally going to be one of the potential art images of, I screen grabbed something like right when Waspinator's head is kind of like elongated, where it's up and down, split open a little bit, and yeah, I remember that now.
So I'm surprised you didn't screen grab it just as the puff of smoke goes in his face. So he's kind of like Waspinator on the chronic.
No.
Drugs are bad for you kids.
Yeah. Just say no. Shut up.
I think it's funny that everyone seems to be able to mimic Quickstrike. you know, the last one we've got Tarantulas, and this one we've got Rat Trap.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, Rat Trap...
I would argue that Tarantulas wasn't mimicking Quickstrike's voice. He was just talking Western like Quickstrike does.
Kind of making fun of him.
Yeah.
We have a guy that talks Western at my job, and we all make fun of him.
That's terrible.
He knows it by now. he doesn't do it very much anymore. But
they can't help the way they talk. They're born like that.
No, he wasn't. He was born in the ghetto, and he just adopted that form.
Oh, God. All right, I'm trying to make an allusion to the fact that he's probably retarded, and you're like, no, he's a ghetto.
Never know.
When Rat Trap pulls that charge out of his wrist, now that usually means bomb, right?
Yeah,
so usually. So I expected him to toss that over to Waspinator, and Waspinator says, "Woo, Energon goodie," and tries to eat it and blows his own head off, which would have been cooler than what happened to him.
Well,
but then I'm thinking, wait a minute, if that blows up, he's sitting on top of Dogbot. He's going to blow up Doggybot too. So I'm
Doggybot follow Waspinator. Waspinator will lead.
Waspinator rules.
Yes, I have three more. Dinobot, you are a true pred. And of course, he switches back, but still. Have I mentioned since we started Season 2 that I really like Megatron Transmetal 1? That is so fucking awesome.
Only every episode. Sometimes.
It's because he's a damn beast, man.
I like the fact that he's, like, uber powerful, but I think he becomes even more uber powerful in his Transmetal 2 form.
True.
Well, it's technically not Transmetal 2. It's technically just an ascended Transmetal.
Well, as far as what it says on his package when you buy it.
Yeah, but you can argue that Optimal is a Transmetal 2 as well, then.
I would argue that, yes.
Yeah. Well, I both Transmetal 2. But,
in fact, I would argue that this series didn't have nearly enough Transmetal 2 going on in it.
Oh, and
should have been
yeah,
more.
It should have gone on another.
Well, that's the same thing I said 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Aftermath, about the two lovebirds. They should have gotten transmetalized and not sent off
Eraser,
the Great Void.
Have Eraser based off her toy and have Tigatron based on his Botcon version.
Yeah.
The one that looks like Ravage.
Oh yeah, the X9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would have kicked ass.
Well, not the car, though.
No, the X9, which was, it was literally a,
It's like Transmetal 1 Cheetor with...
It's a Cheetor with a beast head, exactly. Yeah.
That would have been kick ass.
That's right, yeah.
Basically, my note there, though, is the design. I like the design versus the original Megatron. It's not so much his personality or whether he's more powerful. It's the design of the character model that I really enjoy.
See, I was just getting used to his head being his pet cat.
I like the fact that it folds into his back now.
Yeah.
He gets to do it again.
Actually, I was going to say that his...
Dragon head.
Robot mode kind of reminds me of G1 Grimlock a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool.
Dinobot. It's not the first time Rat Trap has said it, but at the end of the episode when they're when they're going down the steps from the thing, that was funny. This is the worst ride of my life.
Glad to be punished after all.
Yeah.
You're riding down the stairs, buddy. Thump, 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 thump. It's like, there's only two ways out of here. You can take the window, or you can take the stairs. It's like, oh, we'll take the stairs.
And you know what also, it brings up a good point with this episode, three of McNeil's characters, Waspinator, Rat Trap, and Dinobot. I wonder if he does the lines... as a conversation, like we're talking now, like if Steve started talking to himself between Waspinator and Megatron.
He does,
Well, I'm wondering if he did it that way or if the producers had him do it, record Dinobot lines and then record the other lines. I think it would work better if he did it alternating as far as going back and forth.
I can't say how he did it in this instance, but I've heard him do the lines where he's arguing with himself between... Rat Trap and Dinobot. Yeah.
Cool.
It depends on how skilled you are as a voice actor, whether you can pull that off for certain voices.
Yeah. But, I mean, these are two completely different voices, and for him to transition back and forth that quickly, I really wish I had a video camera the one time that I saw him do it up close. I mean, I was in, like, the third row, and he was doing it. And it was like, I can't even do it justice, but I mean, he was literally having an argument with himself. And it was like, yeah, Chopper Face, I'd like to see you try it. And he's like, ah, vermin, I'll destroy you. And, you know, I mean, he's just going back and forth, and it was awesome. It was epic.
Yeah. Steve, what do you have for this episode?
Did anybody notice that Dinobot had his clone having his skin hanging on the wall?
I did not notice it, but I saw the picture in the wiki.
Yeah, and apparently Dinobot has a sky view from his room and a couple extra of his dagger that goes in his tail.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice the decorations. In fact, I didn't even notice he was in his room.
Yeah, he was.
The first time you ever see it, pretty much.
Oh, so I was just like, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and so... You can tell Dinobot's pretty much the only one that doesn't have anything to pack up when they go.
Yeah.
He doesn't keep very much.
He's got a little something to wrap around him to keep himself warm. And, It's like he keeps all of his Rambo style weapons in the command center.
Yeah, when he presses that button on his chest and it opens up, and he's like, "Wah."
He opens the door and like a light shines down on him and he goes, "Ah."
It's kind of like Grandpa Simpson in the Simpsons movie where the shining light is looking for him and he leans over and the light just like goes to the left.
I like that particular scene when they're scouting the area and then Inferno comes up to Dinobot and he's like, "Stand your ground, traitor. You're on my ground, insect."
You're on my ground. It's like, what was that? That scene in Commando, where Arnold Schwarzenegger and the other guy are fighting, and they're trading you know, quips back and forth, and Ray Dong Chong says, "Oh my God, I can't believe all this macho bullshit." We need Ray Dong Chong in this episode, you know, in between Dinobot and the ant saying, "I can't believe all this macho bullshit." Which would be funny.
I like,
especially if you've seen Commando.
I haven't.
Certain to think maybe you haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, probably haven't.
The hell is wrong with you people? You haven't seen Commando? Oh my God.
What year did it come out?
Probably before you were born.
What year did it come out?
I'm not sure.
If it's pre-80s, I won't watch.
IMDb. Well, no, it was definitely, 1985.
Oh, I haven't heard of it, so...
I was too attached to Back to the Future, thank you very much.
It was just another one of those Arnold Schwarzenegger movies where he's, like, killing everybody. And as he kills people, he says these funny one-liners.
Like, it's an Arnold movie. Okay.
Yeah. He, like, stabs right through a guy and nails him to the wall with a knife, and he says, "Stick around." You know, things like that.
Stick around.
Stick around. I'll kill you. Which is just really funny, yeah. And he grabs this guy by the leg, hanging him upside down over a cliff, and he says, "Sally, remember when I said I killed you last?" And he goes, "That's right, man, you said that." And he goes, "I lied." And he lets him go. And then he walks back to Ray Dong Chong, and she says, "What happens to Sully? And he says, "I let him go." I love that. It's just... cheesy 80s, you know, Schwarzenegger movie. It's funny as hell, though. Oh, and Alyssa Milano is his daughter who gets captured by the evil mercenaries.
Oh.
"I will kill you. I will fucking kill you."
That's exactly what he says. Yes, you gotta go out and see that. In fact, I'm surprised that's not an M-Wire movie, along with, like, Predator.
Do you know how long M-Wire is going?
Oh, forever.
It's like 2013 at this point.
Yeah.
Actually, it's closer to 2015 at this point.
Oh, okay.
It's up to like... Well, I sent you an updated schedule. It's up to like 236, 240 episodes.
Doesn't mean I actually look at the end of it.
Why don't you pull out one of those chick flicks like Made in Manhattan and cover something cool like Commando?
Because Mike owns it.
Well, first of all, no. Now, wait a second. Hold the fucking phone up right now. Because, first of all, I don't own Made in Manhattan, thank you very much.
But
fortunately, someone dragged me to a theater to watch it, but I don't own the DVD.
Oh, my
second
God.
Second of all, the M-Wire schedule, and we're going extremely off topic to this episode, but the M-Wire schedule was basically based off of my DVD collection, and I make changes as needed, whether I have the DVD or whether Steve has access to the DVD. So it's constantly changing, with the exception of, like, the big episodes, like episode 50, 75, 100, stuff like that. So, yeah. You know, whatever. Okay. Anyway, back to Maximal No More.
Anyways,
that's all I got.
I like when Megatron and Dinobot are talking. I mean, there's a couple instances when there's a lot of good banter going on, but I don't recall who said what, so I can't say it as the voice, but treachery keeps the wits sharp. And then the other one says, "Indeed, and yours are razor sharp."
I think that's part of the audio for the episode that I grabbed. I think it is. I think I grabbed that. I'm not sure. We'll have to listen back when we listen to this episode. But yeah, there was a lot of good back and forth. And surprisingly, I don't think Dinobot even punched Megatron in this episode. Normally, since Dinobot defected, he's always the one to be giving Megatron good punches, especially knocking his tooth out.
Well, because Dinobot's the only one to pred, he's pretty much the only one that can actually get to Megatron and knows Megatron's style.
Yeah, true.
I do love this particular scene when it was a sarcastic remark on Dinobot's part, but Megatron begins by, "Inferno, aid quick strike. Yes, my queen."
"I was not aware you had given yourself a new title."
"The ant has some faulty programming."
"I was not aware you'd given yourself a new title." That is some funny shit.
Yeah, I think that might be one of the quotes. I don't remember. I've already grabbed all the audio for this one, so it's been a while since I've actually listened to it. But yeah, I think that might be one of the quotes. But yeah, that was great. I always love that exchange between Inferno and Megatron. I do wish you'd stop calling me that.
That's happened a lot lately.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably continue. I think it continues all the way up until Inferno becomes a drum for the early humans.
Yeah, he keeps calling the colony and the royalty.
Yep. So is that it for this episode?
No.
Okay, what else do you have?
Cheetor and Rhinox don't even show up.
Oh, yeah, what the hell?
Lazy bastards.
Well, neither does Primal... Yes, he does.
Yeah, Primal's in it.
Yes, he does.
He's there at pretty much the end.
Right, yeah. That's right.
It's this one begins Megatron's hint dropping of his grand scheme.
Yeah.
That Dinobot only confirms it when he says it will destroy Maximal and Predacon alike and all who came before.
Yeah.
Did you notice the jamming stations that were shown are actually related to the alien visit, like the symbol on the disc?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of continuity with the disc.
Yeah. And
that'll come up in the next discussion.
It's like a chicken or the egg thing, though. It's like, did he plant them there and they just happened to match up with the disc? Or did he see the disc and say, I kind of want to put tracking stations in this array just in case?
No, I think he planned it because he saw the disc. Because
it was
he
like a backup.
Right. Well, he's trying to figure out how the disc works still. So I think he's discovering it as it goes along. And again, like I said, when we get to the final episode for today, that will most definitely come up. What else you got, Steve?
Basically, Dinobot starts his own destruction in this episode.
Yeah.
His downward spiral, because he becomes less of a character until after this episode, until
Code of a Hero, yeah.
And see, then now, he's pretty much done for.
I think that's really the only purpose this episode serves, is to show that Dinobot's having his doubts, not really sure which way he should be going, kind of wants to go this way, but knows that his heart's really not in it, so he might as well be a good guy if they'll have me. He's kind of torn, doesn't really know which way is right for him, and the only way he's going to find out is by dying. But yeah, literally, I mean,
dying is probably his only option, considering what was said in, way back in season one. I don't know if it was Victory or Beast Wars, part two, oh yeah, I mean, it might have been Victory when they were planning on going back to Cybertron, and he's like, "Oh well, I'm a Predacon. The Maximals are just gonna put me in jail or whatever, and I would rather die than do that or whatever." So, you know, pretty much death is his only option.
Yeah, he goes out well, but that's another story.
Oh yeah, that's
that'll be next episode.
As far as this story goes, though, I mean, that, to me, the only purpose this story really shows is to. Or the only purpose it serves is to show that Dinobot is kind of faltering, not really sure where his path is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it won't be resolved till much later.
Exactly. So.
I still have more.
Okay.
There's when Dinobot begins looking at the beginning of the episode with Megatron's outpost and the golden disk on the screen, Cybertronic text appears.
Mm-hmm.
It's translated to read, "They killed Kenny, those bastards."
Does it really?
Yeah. Rat Trap had a cheese scanner.
Yep.
He was trying to find cheese, since he likes it so much. And,
if you like it so much, why don't you marry it?
I
won't let you. How do you like that?
I like the fight that Dinobot had with Quickstrike. And Hasbro wouldn't have let him do this, but it would have been awesome if Dinobot just freaking smoked his ass right there and, you know, ended Quickstrike. He had the chance. Megatron gave it to him. He just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, that would have completely, I don't want to say ended the fairness of the lineup, but yeah, I mean, they're pretty much one-on-one right now. If you kill off one of the Predacons, and then Dinobot switch sides back to the Maximals, they wouldn't have that one guy paired up against one other guy ratio anymore.
But they could have called it the going of the Fusors. You know, two episodes later, we're getting rid of them.
Well, you know, that's just the other thing. I don't know who I was talking to. I might have been in another Skype chat. A lot of the people that I follow on Twitter, we've been Skype chatting for the last 3 nights.
What's up with that? Holding out on us?
No.
Yeah, he's flaking out on us.
No, whatever. Yeah. I'm already through the entire Beast Wars era. I'm set until Beast Machines comes around. But anyway,
he's gonna start recording those and calling them a podcast.
No. Anyway, we got to talking about Beast Wars, and I said something about coming of the Fusors, and wow, that being a totally sticky situation.
Oh, God.
But anyway, do we have anything?
I'm sure all the slash fic authors in there immediately chimed in. And, I wrote a parable about that.
I wrote
a whole story about Fusors coming all over everything.
Talking about spreading DNA.
Bound chicken wow wow.
Ow. Ow, stop it. You're making me hurt.
In what way?
In a good way.
Anyway, that's more than we know. Is there anything else for Maximal No More?
No more Maximal.
Okay, we're moving on.
I'd forgotten what beauty this planet once offered.
What Tarantulas is after.
And it looks like he's there. And so is a Maximal.
could have warned them. If that stinking Megatron hadn't jammed us, we could have...
Well, you didn't. Welcome back.
So much for the Maximal.
You must have activated the alien sight. I have been careless.
I'm picking up two more Maximals headed for that position. Do we help Tarantulas?
Royalty, Waspinator and Quickstrike report a Maximal attack at Jamming Tower 3. Shall I reinforce them?
No. With most of the Maximals in the field, and considering the circumstances, it's time we retrieved the alien disc.
Optimus, did you see it? The signal?
No, but Cheetor said it took Tigatron an air razor.
What?
See what you can find out. We'll be there soon. Optimus out.
Freeze image. Magnify.
Perimeter attack. Predacon unit, Megatron.
Auto guns online.
I come in peace.
You're about to leave in pieces.
No need for violence, Rhinox. I merely wish to talk.
Go ahead. It's a free planet. I'm busy.
Stubborn Maximal fool!
Finally up today is the two-parter of Other Visits. In part one, the Maximals detect another alien device far away from the Axalon and investigate, spying a mammoth plant-slash-structure. The Maximal duo are attacked by a strange creeping vines converted to energy and beamed into space. The Predacons arrive to seize the device for themselves, but it may prove too powerful for them. And it doesn't say, which two Maximals, but we all know it was Tigatron and Air Razor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I knew that.
So, I actually love how this episode begins. It's very different than normal. And very cool looking. It was the computer image fade in.
Yeah, I did like how they did that, and they started off with all of the alien structures that they've encountered so far, revealing yep. 3 out of 5.
Yes.
Which this episode launches the fourth.
Yep. Optimus trusts too much. Ooh, I sense an allusion to Beast Machines Tankor/Rhinox.
I just sense that Rhinox is getting tired very fast.
Well, yeah, we couldn't make him Tankor this early, though.
Why he'd pulverize?
Yeah. Megatron has another jamming station up, damn it.
Gee, like we didn't see that coming.
And I believe this is the first episode that Primal says maximum burn since he came back to life.
I think I missed that, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
Yikes, there goes Air Razor and Tigatron off to become a transsexual.
I mean, transmetal.
To be merged.
Transmetal sexual.
I am transformed.
God.
Well, it's kind of bittersweet in the sense that, you know, they've flirted before. Tigatron and Air Razor have kind of like, you know... The lady rides a tiger.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that they've really actually, like... well, not yet, but this is the first time they've, like, held hands, and it's been an intimate moment. And it's like, isn't this nice and sweet, and we're surrounded by nature, and it's returning and fantastic. And then there's the tentacle porn. No one expects the spiked tentacle porn. It sneaks up behind you.
And then all is lost.
And then all is innocence lost. I like that, Eraser. And she's like, oh my god!
I have a
it's
real
in her mouth. It's wrapped around her legs and shit.
Tentacle porn aside, I have a real issue with this opening scene because you said, Michael, we've seen them flirt, but we don't actually see a whole developing relationship. Like this, you said, this is the first time they've held hands, and all of a sudden when they're getting ready to be taken away, my spark will always find yours. And it's played off like there's been like this years and years of love. They've only known each other for, what, say 2-3 months? Give me a fucking break.
Well, you know what kills me, though? It's like, dude, didn't your white tiger girlfriend just die a few episodes ago? I mean, she's not even barely in the ground yet, and you're already chasing tail. You know, that's not cool, man. Have some respect. Cold. I know, that's cold.
Yo, you reading me, trans monkey?
It just don't sound right.
No, it really came from Rat Trap. I liked it. It was funny.
In a weird sort of way.
I don't think there was enough of a segue between the tentacle porn and necrophilia to the trans monkey. I think we need a nice pause there. We have to go back and edit in a good 3 or 4 second pause before we move on to trans monkey.
Nah.
Trans monkey. That funky monkey.
Wow. Wow. Waspinator splat alert. Waspinator pinned like iron butterfly.
Inagata DeVita. Sing along with me now. Inagata DeVita, baby. Come on, you're supposed to sing with me.
Okay, moving on.
We don't know what scary thing you're referring to.
Yeah, it's probably from Rocky Horror.
What, Inagata DeVita?
I don't know.
It's like classic rock.
Who sings it?
You know, it's like Iron Butterfly.
Elvis.
Oh.
The band, Iron Butterfly.
He said
it's,
that.
You remember the old commercials?
No.
They were 80s kids. No, it was like, hey, man, is that Freedom Rock? Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man. And they turned up and it's like, you're going to defeat our baby.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Anyways, moving on. I come in peace. You're about to leave in pieces.
So peace off.
Peace off.
I like the giant gun with the little speaker in the middle.
Well, that's
it's
what
like
I was.
Circle of guns, and then the little mouthpiece in the middle that goes, "What the hell do you want?"
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Cheese.
Oh, stop.
That's the other thing I was going to bring up. That is another, I think I've grabbed like 2 or 3 quotes for this episode. That is one of them, that whole exchange between the two of them, especially with the ambient, you know, noise as far as, you know, the Axelon giving off feedback, which I think is a really cool noise. And then my next note is, oh,
that was a horrible noise.
I love
it
that noise.
It made my nose bleed.
I love that noise. That noise was awesome.
God. That's like fingernails on the chalkboard.
But it was much better than fingernails on a chalkboard. And my next note was, oh, the BFG is dead.
It just kind of drooped like, bleh.
Yeah, like, bleh. It's kind of like the mask guns, the inflatable mask guns from the mask. Okay. Crickets. Anyway.
Sorry, I was just use of...
Well, Steve was supposed to speak up there because we just did Mask a couple of weeks ago, so... Anyway.
Yeah, damn it. Cool. What the hell?
In your face, biatch.
Was in my face, in your face.
Megatron... Like oh, no, wait. and then I purposefully put ha 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 like all in capital letters, and then Rock'em Sock'em Robots Beast Wars Edition.
I wish they would have sold a toy set of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that would have been
Rhinox.
But you know, does Hasbro own the rights to Rock'em Sock'em?
I don't know.
I think they do. Yeah, because that would have been awesome. Actually, they could have pulled that off.
Hasbro's missed out on a lot of things they could do. That's why all these aftermarket companies are doing it now.
Yeah. But, you know, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots was neat. It was lighthearted and kind of funny. But compared to the point-blank chest shot that Ryan Ronox got a minute earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally, he pulled him over, put the gun in his chest, and said, goodbye. Boom. And he went flying, and I thought, fuck. You know, it was just a couple episodes ago that he literally had a giant hole blasting in his chest.
Yeah.
And I expected them to bring that damage mold back when he got up to have a big-ass hole in his chest. That would have been epic. But he didn't. He didn't have any damage at all. He's just like, that hurt, you know. Now I'm
gonna like,
fuck up
the
whole world.
Really hurt.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, then Rock'em Sock'em Robots. So it's kind of like the juxtaposition of double Gatling guns of doom with all the spent cartridges flying off and Waspinator going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, you know, and exploding into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
It's like, it's gruesome, but it's kind of funny at the same time.
Megatron Must Be Stopped Now, a G1 reference, a spinoff of Megatron Must Be Stopped No Matter the Cost.
I didn't actually read No Matter the Cost into it, but it would have been epic if he'd said it.
Well, right. No, he didn't say that, but I alluded to between what Primal said of Megatron Must Be Stopped Now rather than them waiting for Megatron to make a move. I made the connection between the two. As I said,
yeah.
A spinoff of Megatron Must Be Stopped No Matter the Cost.
It's not a huge step. But
no, but still, it's there.
I think I used the term epic about 13 times this episode.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to get even more epic as Season 2 and Season 3, you know, as we go through Season 2 and Season 3. The Invaders Come Royalty. Fucking Inferno.
Didn't call him Queen this time.
Yeah. Thank God for that.
Easy go.
Big giant surge of energy, then. To be continued. Damn it.
We're all going to die.
Like cheese.
We're going to die. We're going to go to cheese hell and eat cheese. I like the part where Rhinox has got Black Arachnia right in his crosshairs. He's like, you better put that down. And he doesn't see Megatron behind him.
Yeah.
And Megatron literally disarms him.
Yeah.
Takes his arm off, and then when he hits the ground, he says, Rhinox, I am your father.
No, he doesn't.
And Rhinox says, no!
Actually, you know what? Honestly, did Megatron really take his arm off, or did he just disarm his weapon?
He ripped his whole arm off.
He ripped his whole arm off? It would have been
They didn't actually show it, but there was kind of a sound of rip, you know, and then Rhinox
and then
goes,
you see two metal bars sticking out of his shoulder.
Yeah.
See, it would have been cooler if they went back and found David Wise's old script of Wardon and had him rip the arm off and smack him in the face with it.
Beat him with it. No, that was pretty rough. I mean, I had to rewind a couple of times and say, did he really rip his arm off? And then later on in the episode, they show him putting his arm back on. So
yeah,
at that
Primal
point, it's
puts
like,
it
oh,
down with a machine.
Yeah, so at that point, I'm like, wow, man, they did tear his arm off. That's hardcore. It would have been really hardcore if they'd have shown it, like, I mean, cutting his arm off and his arm flying away.
Yeah, that would
But they show Megatron. It looks like he has a hand in his hand, but then they kind of cover it up. So I was like, was he holding his arm, or was he? Was that his hand? I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if it had been a green hand, I would have known, but, you know, they didn't really show it as well as they could have. And I think that's because, you know, ultimately, it's a kid's show, and you don't want, you know, decapitations or things like that in the kid's show. But, you know, few minutes later, there he is with a power tool putting his arm back on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Now. I didn't see it. I didn't really notice it. I just thought Megatron knocked him down and took the disc from him. I didn't notice that he ripped his arm off. Wow.
Took his arm. Disarmed him, literally. That was awesome.
What else you got, Michael?
One last thing was they have the, or I should say, Rhinox and Dinobot are taking a look at the records they have of the alien disc.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they match up the glyphs that they found so far to the locations on where they found them.
Yeah.
And from that, they extrapolate the location of one more glyph. And they go to find it, and that's how the whole ball of mess ends up, you know, with Tigertron and Air Razor. But, there appears to be one more glyph left over that they haven't triangulated yet.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, how long is it going to be visitors before that last glyph comes into play, or?
Steve?
Basically, that last emblem
yeah.
is pretty much useless. I just think that that's kind of portrayed by, they never actually got to it because the disc was destroyed. So Tigerhawk was actually the next alien intervention.
I thought that would be like something that would be useful in the future, but
no. Unfortunately, they blew up the disc, so there was no need for the symbol either.
Talk about
ran out of seasons.
Yeah, talk about seeds of the future not buried in the past.
No, leave that they're one. Buried in your backyard. But anyways,
yes,
buried in your ass.
Along with your corpse. All right. Is that it, Michael? That you had for notes?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm good.
What do you got, Steve?
I like that Megatron wanted the big pod ship, and he put his face in it.
Yeah, that doesn't come till later, though. That's in part two.
Well. Shut your pie hole.
We're not to part two yet.
I know, but I like where Tarantulas, you know, pretty much
fears the aliens.
Yeah, confused them, and then transmetals get affected by the initial blast, but don't go in stasis lock, unlike the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I also like how Inferno gets finally choked. For calling Megatron Queen.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed it, but I don't think I wrote it down.
Say the word, and he will burn, my queen. Not yet. And for the last time, stop calling me that. As you command, my.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say. You know, Michael, you brought up that Cheetor and the others weren't in the other episode. I gotta say, Cheetor had a lot of good emotions in this one.
There was a no.
Well, I'm just saying the voice on each toilet's part outside of the sound. Like if you took this episode and you got rid of every ambient noise and every sound effect and just had the Cheetor lines. You know, you could hear the real regret in Cheetor's voice and stuff. I'm just saying that Corlett pulled it off really, really well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Talented group of people. I think we covered that.
Well, yeah, we'll cover it until the end of the show. But I'm just saying that it same thing with the Tigatron stuff a couple episodes ago. That kind of surprised me that Blue could do that kind of voicing. So, you know, it's just one of those surprising things. So is that it for part one?
Apparently the wiki has a little bit of trivia. The original script called for the alien plant to lure Tigertron and Ares are in with a stasis pod containing a blank.
Okay.
Which, to me, would have been quite pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even need the pod. I mean, they were just exploring to see what happened to the planet and ran into it. Like, oops, shit, we're dead.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't have done as much hand-holding and flirting if they had been looking for something, as opposed to just, like, enjoying nature.
Very true, very true. All right, so are we ready to move on to part two?
For sure.
For shizzle.
In part two of Other Voices, or Other Visits, I almost said Other Voices, crap. All these OV titles are getting me mixed up. What is the mystery of, oh wait, whoops, that's the wrong one. I almost read Bad Spark. Damn it. Megatron
get your shit together.
What? Shut up. Megatron boards the Metal Hunter and activates the plant structure of the center of the alien site, while Tarantulas theorizes about its connection to the aliens. Transmetal technology and the Beast Wars at large. Megatron sets his sights on the Maximals with this floating fortress at his disposal. God, I don't need the booklet anymore. The alien base controlled by the golden disc. That was very cool.
Yes, that was quite nice.
Because you don't think that, you know, when you first see the discs and you see the symbols, you don't think they're buttons.
It's not like a big remote control. Yeah.
And it turns out it is.
Well, it makes you wonder what the human disc would control then. Oh.
It's shown what the human disc controls.
Humans. Okay. I'm lost.
You're talking about the other golden disc, correct?
I'm talking about the one that they're using in this episode.
Well, that's the alien golden disc, right? The alien golden disc controls the pod ship.
But okay. The original golden disc
would control. Right, right.
Okay.
The one I think that's destroyed already, though.
The original golden disc?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Dinobot gave it to Megatron.
I thought Dinobot gave Megatron the alien disc.
No, that's the one that got stolen from Rhinox.
Yeah, that's right. Megatron already had when Dinobot defected back. He gave him the human disc, which he had hidden away. And then when Megatron went to get back the second disc, that's what he stole from Rhinox, was the alien disc.
It all makes sense now.
I guess.
Kinda.
I love Rat Trap's sarcasm. We'll think of something, he says. Well, isn't that just Prime?
Yes, he always has good lines.
Yes, he does. Fighting Maxis. Is Quickstrike needing some tampons?
Yes, he needs maximal pads.
For those heavy flow days.
Oh, God.
It's called 1-800 Ant Flow.
Wow, talk
Aunt
about
Flo
a
coming to visit my caster.
And she's gonna sell you some car insurance.
Corn insurance?
No, not corn car.
corn insurance in my caster.
At least Rat Trap can ride on the ape's surfboard instead of his back.
Yeah, less chance of singed tail that way.
Ain't that the truth?
But he liked riding in the back.
Oh, God, that's such a horrible, horrible joke. I know Steve's going to bring this up, but I made a note about the big Megatron-headed base.
I know, that's the first occurrence of it, and I love it.
And I put this in bold because if you guys look in the Skype window and look at my picture, that's the episode art. Hey kids, look, it's a hung monkey.
Hung monkey.
Because Optimus is hanging by his hands.
Oh.
He's captured.
I see.
Yeah, in other words, he's going to be lynched.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a Waspinator comedy alert, not a splat alert, but Antbot is major suck up. I I've said this before and I'll continue to say this. I know I've denounced the Bugbots before, but I have to say it again. I really love Waspinator for his comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says funny things.
When Black Arachnia jumps out of the base, does Quickstrike slide down her web?
I didn't notice.
I don't know.
I could have sworn, because it looks like when she's, because she transforms. When it looks like she transformed, it looks like she, when she jumped out, it looks like the webbing came out of her ass again or whatever. It looks like Quickstrike slides down it. I don't know, though. The Transmetal One Optimus and Megatron battle. That was awesome. I don't care what you say about not liking the toy, Michael, as far as the Transmonkey surfboard thing, but that surfboard battle was awesome.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of the surfboard.
It's awesome.
I don't care so much about the surfboard, but it's fine, in my opinion.
And the final note I have is, fire in the hole!
What one?
At the end, fire in the hole, when the base blows up.
You didn't get it. Anyways.
Shut up, Steve. Jesus Christ.
I didn't get it either.
Yeah, he's asking which hole. He said which one.
He said there's a fire in his hole.
I suppose that depends on if you had the burrito.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what do you got?
Alrighty then. First of all, I like that Megatron put his face on the planet, which I think gave him the idea for Beast Machines. Nevertheless, it was cool to see him pick up everybody and drop Tarantulas as well as the other Maximals, heal his loyal Predacons as well as Optimus Primal, and brought them all inside the alien ship. And Tarantulas, you know, being the scumbag he is, siding with the Maximals to get back at Megatron. Megatron basically had a moment similar to Black Arachnia's on the floating island.
Yeah.
So that he could gain control of the push button chair. You know, Megatron was thinking, you know, I really wish I had one of these in my base. I like where Megatron bit off more than he could chew in the electrical department.
Yeah.
And then he got electrocuted and zapped across the room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everybody did have a lot of good lines in it. Tarantulas mocking the Maximals, primitive computers, or so he may think.
Did you learn nothing?
From the alien discs?
Yeah.
Megatron gives the alien disc a kiss for good luck when he puts it into the control account.
Hey, I got a question. I don't know if you guys have this in your notes. And now that you mention that, Steve, though, but wouldn't that technically be a record player? The way it looked like when he put on the thing, it looked like he put it on a turntable.
You spin me right round, baby.
Oh, God. I think I have that song in my iTunes. I may have to put a 30-second clip of that in this episode.
You know, because all those symbols, those are the different songs it plays.
Musical notes.
I don't like this track. Skip. Skip. This is the last time the aliens were prepared to blow up the entire planet to stop the Transformers. This time they just send this little plant-based thing, make a single attack, hoping to disable them, and then Megatron steals it and then decides he's going to take over Cybertron and kill the Vok. Which, why would they send something so harmless after trying to exterminate the entire planet?
See, I didn't take it that way. I kind of thought that this plant thing was there all along, kind of like Stonehenge, and that they hadn't actually, you know, just found it yet.
Well, it didn't appear until after the little ship from the sky kind of hit it.
It was a ship from the sky?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like I said, I think it was there. It was just somewhere they couldn't see it. Almost like, you know, the golden disc that Inferno found. It was like, well, we just kind of got a signal all of a sudden, and we went to go check it out, and there it was. Whereas, you know, here, I don't think that it appeared after the Vok tried to blow up the planet. I think it was there all along, and they just kind of found it there. It was kind of like, you know, just another symbol on the golden disc that nobody knew about. It's like, yes, we found the Stonehenge. Yes, we found the floating island. No, we haven't found the plant thing yet.
I would argue that, though, because of the... Well, I would argue that because of the fact of... Tigatron says this is the first time he's seen plant life since the alien explosion thingamabob tried to blow up the planet. So...
I thought he meant since they blew up the floating island.
No, since they tried to blow up the planet. Because all the damage that was done by the mass driver or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
The planet buster thingy majigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think that it may have partially been there, but it partially was not. They still had to send the beacon to reformat it to that current form.
It's like you can't have it both ways. Nope.
Yeah.
It's. I always used to think Rat Trap stopped the whole teleport and kind of caused the thing to be destroyed, but I didn't realize that Tarantulas hooked himself into the data tracks and the transwarp cell, triggering it to basically get a virus in it to self-destruct.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
No, I thought that's what Megatron did.
No, Megatron meant to teleport it to Cybertron. Rat Trap destroyed the chair, and then all of a sudden you see Tarantulas hooked up into something while they're all fighting, and then all of a sudden Tarantulas is flooring it out of there.
Ah.
Yeah.
I got you back. See ya.
He's like, you see this? Go fuck yourself. Bye.
He's like, this was my plan all along. Yeah.
Yep. He says, I'm the only one going home. You're going to die here. You know, because he was secretly conspiring with another Predacon / Decepticon agent.
Yes, that'll come up later.
Yes, that's why I'm not naming, even though it should be obvious.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
I like when Primal has that line for Megatron, telling Megatron not to teleport, and he says, their power is beyond what you can imagine. You can't control it.
I am power.
Yeah.
The only issue I had here was that at the end, the actual destruction of the pod was not nearly as climatic as the last alien visit.
Well, the difference is that this
it's
is not
a moon.
A,
yeah.
Well, no. Well, yeah. I mean that's a difference. But what I was going to say is the difference is that this is not a season-ending episode. This is just a two-parter to further the continuity of
right.
the story. So. But yeah, right.
Yeah, despite the fact that it didn't blow up real good, I'm sure that there's going to be repercussions from the transwarp tunnel at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We'll hear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're still left wondering what happened to Tigatron and Airazor. And I don't remember exactly if at the end they went, well, shit, you know, we got to find them.
No, they didn't. They said something about... what happened to, you know, they're one.
Wherever they are, we'll find them. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, you know, Transformers movie. Oh, shit, Jazz died. Well, fuck. Okay.
No, he didn't.
In the Bay movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the real movie, not the... not
heavy eyeball rolling sigh.
Well, yes, I thought you were talking about the real movie, not the crappy live action ones.
Do you want a piece of me? No, I'll take two. Yeah. Jazz dies.
Yes. Rip. Okay, I get it. It's like, you know, you keep hammering that nail in. I get it.
Oh God. I'm gonna send you this pic and you're gonna shoot.
Oh
yourself.
God, here we go. More fucking swear to God.
Something to distract you. Yeah.
I'm not clicking on that. I'm not clicking on that, you bastard.
Oh, I make myself giggle.
Anyways, more on other voice or other. Again, I keep calling other visits. Do we have anything else on other visits?
No.
Steve.
Steve has said goodnight for the evening.
Oh, God damn it. I'll edit part of this out.
Okay. I'm wondering if that means it stopped recording as well.
Well, it's just the outro that we have to record, then that's it. I'm trying to... Leaving the recording on, because I want to not... Oh, great. Call fail, so he must be offline. Lovely. Freaking lovely. I don't want to...
Fantastic.
Well, I don't want to have to edit... I mean, I can edit it out of the thing, but I don't want to have to... yeah, whatever. Yes. Damn it, Steve. You bastard.
What is that?
Damn dirty ape. No, it's failing.
You gotta click on the Hasselhoff zoom, that's funny.
Oh, god damn it.
You'll enjoy it.
You bastard. That's fucking wrong. Fuck you. That's fucking wrong.
That's going to be your background picture.
No,
now.
It's fucking not. That's fucking wrong. Come on, Steve. Pick up. Okay, do we have anything else on other visits?
No.
Okay, we are moving on. You're going to hear some quotes and then the outro.
Optimus Primal, how good to see you awake. I wouldn't want you to miss our voyage home.
Home? You're taking this thing...
Back to Cybertron. Yes.
You can't. Who knows what the aliens might do if they become aware of Cybertron?
Let them. In time, I will destroy them as I will your precious Maximals and the Autobots, too.
The boss sure thinks big.
You're mad! Optimus Primal, maximize!
There is no heroic escape today, Primal. With you and this weapon as trophies, the Predacon Alliance will finally see that conquest of Cybertron is the only true path!
Maximals attacking!
Better cancel your appearance before the Alliance.
Oh, on the contrary. A few more captives can only enhance it.
Silverbolt! Maximize!
Give it up, Megatron! You can't win!
We shall see. Engage the Maximals at once!
Your comrades fight well.
Yeah, well, you Preds give us plenty of practice. Now quit your yakking and get inside!
Drum them out! Fall back!
We got him on the run!
Megatron must be holding Optimus in the control room. That way!
Lead the way, and don't try anything... Slag!
So much for your Maximals. Now, to play my final card. Yes. Lock in coordinates. Begin teleport sequence. In a few nanoclicks, we'll be on our way.
What? Without saying goodbye? Gee, I'm hurt.
I have no time for you, Vermin.
Make time!
You should have made your shots count.
Oh, he did.
Hey,
This is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
This is quote number one.
I come in peace.
You're about to leave in pieces.
This is quote number two.
Well then, partner, let's head him up and move him out.
And quote number three.
Eggbot is major sucker.
You were joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can follow us on Twitter, Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter, Steve?
SCP-21.
And Michael?
Pecan Court Michael.
You can become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. The voicemail line's dead. So, yeah. Don't call us. Don't tell us your thoughts on the shows.
There's like three or four or five other ways to get in contact with us.
Yeah, emails. Whatever. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Beast Unleashed Podcast. Join us next time. We'll be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Wars Season 2. Those being Bad Spark, Code of Hero, and Transmutate. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with Pecan Court Michael and Steve Megatron. Until next time.